ready. You guys showed us everything we need to see. Now we just need to get there and get rolling.
Mike Matheny, manager of the Kansas City Royals. It's opening day. If you're a baseball fan, this has to be one of your favorite days of the year. The baseball season underway a week later than we anticipated. But quite honestly, I think this is the way to go. Once the college basketball NCAA tournament is in the books, baseball should take center stage. And if it would have started last Thursday, a lot of people have been like, I didn't even know the season started. I'm so busy screaming and yelling at my brackets for being so bad with the way I picked.
Right. It's like outside of opening day, it's like I didn't even miss it. You know? It's like, yeah, this is the right time.
Opening day is special. I've been to a couple of them, and it's, first of all, that's about the only time Kauffman Stadium is packed unless they make the playoffs, of course, or if the Yankees or Cardinals are in town. And it's a special moment, and it is fun to kick off the season. I was lucky enough to be there for the opening day the year after they won the World Series, and they hung the banner. And that was so awesome. Mm-hmm. And they played the Mets and beat them. That was the way they opened up the year in 2016. Edson Volquez was on the hill to open up that season. And, of course, he's a big part of the Royals winning World Series in 2015. But, you know, there is optimism for the Royals. And we'll talk more Royals baseball coming up in a little bit. We'll go through the opening day schedule for Major League Baseball here today on a Thursday, April the 7th, on the Sports Ticket. Wade, Jason, and Dusty with you. And a couple of games have already been postponed due to weather. And hopefully Kauffman Stadium doesn't blow away today based on all the winds that we have. High wind advisory in effect till 8 o'clock for our listening area. Winds up to possibly 65 miles per hour. But first, we're going to throw it to Dusty. We've got track and field assignments, baseball and softball assignments as well, so we know where Beloit softball is going to go for regionals, and also we got track and field.
Do you have baseball and softball? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was out. Did that come out today?
That was yesterday.
Oh, really? Because I looked yesterday the same time I did track, and it wasn't there.
Yeah, it was there last night. It was there last night.
Must
have
came out later.
Well, I'll just tell you, Beloit baseball will be at Russell.
Okay.
In regards to, of course, first-round games are at the higher-seeded site, but then, if I remember that correctly. Maybe not. But anyway, I can't remember for sure on the baseball part of it.
It varies year to year, but most years it is.
Yeah,
first round game.
Last year we had to go to Barton Community College to play because of the field or something and play Larned. But anyway, Beloit baseball will be in the Russell Regional with the likes. Let's see, I got softball pulled up now. Beloit softball will be with Colby, TMP, Hoisington / Central Plains, Larned, Plainville / Stockton, Russell / Victoria, Sylvan Lucas / Lincoln. There's a lot of co-ops when it comes to softball and baseball. So the Beloit softball team, if they're going to make it to state, they're going to have to win the regional at Hayes at TMP. When it comes to baseball, as I mentioned, Beloit will be at the Russell Regional in Class 3A. I was just looking up the last time Beloit made it to the regional championship was, I think, I just looked it up, it was either 16 or 17. So Beloit in Class 3A, they'll be at Russell, and Ellenwood, Ellsworth, TMP, Hoisington / Central Plains, Larned, Lincoln / Sylvan Lucas, and Russell / Victoria are pretty much about the same field for the most part for the baseball team. So Beloit baseball team is going to surprise some people and make it to state for the first time, I believe, in school history. I don't think Beloit baseball's ever made it.
I don't believe so.
I don't think so. They'd have to get that done in Russell. So that's a look at baseball and softball. Now, Dusty has a track and field.
Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah. Then regional track and field will be coming up, and I'm not a fan of how they're doing this. They're going to have some of them on Thursday, May 19th, some of them on Friday, May 20th. So it'll be all over the place. But Beloit and 3A will be on Thursday, May 19th in Phillipsburg, and then also the May 19th on that Thursday, many of our Area 1A teams will be in Washington. St. John's, Lakeside, Tipton, Rock Hills, Lincoln, Glasgow, Milton Vale, and Pike Valley are all competing there. Other 1A teams will be at the Colby Regional Friday, May 20th, including Osmond, Sylvan Lucas, and Thunder Ridge. And then in Class 2A, Smith Center will host their regional on May 20th. So those two will be on Friday, and the rest of them on Thursday. A full look at those regional track and field assignments can be found at ncksports.com. So that's a look at regional track and field. Coming up here today in local sports, we go back to baseball and softball, where Lincoln Sylvan Lucas will be at Beloit in baseball this afternoon at 4 o'clock for the doubleheader. And then Sylvan Lucas Lincoln softball team also at Beloit this afternoon with a doubleheader starting at 4 o'clock. So those are the games that are going on as far as baseball and softball are concerned for today. High school golf, Sylvan Lucas and Tipton are both at the Chase Invitational this afternoon. So that's a look at the schedule for today as far as local sports is concerned. We also have our Athlete of the Week. Osborne senior Mason Scher has been named the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week after meddling at state track and field in 2021. Both the 100 and 200 meter, he's on to a great start again in track in 2022, especially in those two events. Bulldogs have competed at lacrosse and Beloit for St. John's, or the St. John's Invitational, and Scher already has 5 gold medals to his name. He's placed first in the 100 and 200 at both events. Lacrosse Thursday, he won the 100 and 11:33, the 223:45. Also the anchor of the 4x100-meter relay team that claimed gold with a time of 45:40. Then on Tuesday in Beloit, Scher took first in the 100-meter in 11:10 and won the 200-meter in 23:11. So, again, Mason Scher, 5 gold medals already in the first 2 track meets of the year. He's our NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. We need your help in finding the Athlete of the Week. For more information, you can visit NCKSSports.com.
Fantastic. Hey, if you want to go to the parade for KU, they bumped that to Sunday. I kind of wonder with the spring game on Saturday how they're going to do a parade and a spring game on the same day, but they bumped the parade to Sunday at 2 o'clock. There's parking available on campus in Lot 90 beginning at 11 a.m., or you can get there a lot sooner and then walk a little ways. It'll be 6th Street to 19th Street on Mass is the parade route. I was fortunate enough to go in 2008. It was a lot of fun, so if you like to go, doesn't happen very often. Happened last time 14 years ago. So if you want to enjoy that Sunday, maybe there's nothing going on for you and your family, you're a Jayhawk fan, or you're just curious and want to see what it's like, go check out the parade coming up beginning at 2 o'clock there in downtown Lawrence on Mass Street this Sunday. And if we want to make a weekend out of it, you got the spring game on Saturday and then get Sunday the parade. So we'll talk more about that with the voice of the national champion Jayhawks, Brian Heaney, coming up here in about 15 to 20 minutes. All right, the Royals get their season going. Here is the opening day slate. Brewers are at the Cubs today at 1:20. Ah, Jason's excited about those Cubbies. Betcha. The Cubs are kind of rebuilding, it seems. The Guardians, not an expansion team. It's the Indians, but they're called the Guardians now. At the Royals at 3:10 today. More on that in a moment. Pirates at the Cardinals. The Mets are at the Nationals tonight. The Reds at the Braves at 7:08. Braves are defending World Series champions, where you can get that $151 hamburger. Astros at the Angels tonight. Padres, D-backs, the late game at 8:40. Red Sox, Yankees already postponed. Mariners, Twins already postponed. And what a shocker, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, it's Red Sox Yankees. I'm stunned by that development that would take place. Although they are having Reds Braves tonight as their main game, since the Braves are the defending World Series champions. That's your schedule for today. And we need to keep in mind, you know, there's a lot of people that think, I think there's a lot of people that think the Royals will be a little bit more exciting, but they're not going to make the playoffs. According to CBSSports.com, and put this and take this with a very small grain of salt, 4 of their 5 so-called experts, and I don't call them experts when Matt Snyder doesn't even know that Aldebaran Mondesi is a star when he's healthy. But anyway, 4 of the 5 so-called writers for CBS Sports, which I don't know what kind of knowledge they fully truly have picked the Royals to finish last. 4 of the 5 have picked the Royals to finish last. I don't think the Royals are going to finish last.
No.
But I don't think the Royals are going to finish first either.
No.
I'll give my reasons on that in a little bit. I think we all will. The Astros are the heavy favorite to win the American League West. The American League East, all these guys are picking the Blue Jays, which is interesting. You know, Yankees always be there. The National League East, that's a mixture of the Braves and Mets, according to predictions. National League Central, Brewers, and then the Cardinals. And then, of course, everybody's picking the Dodgers and the National League West. No respect for the Giants, who won more games than the Dodgers did last year and won the division. That's kind of interesting. And not a single one of these experts, at least, have the Royals in the playoffs. There is an expanded field of playoffs this year. There are 12 teams, so you have a better chance of making the playoffs. So keep that in mind as well. But first things first, opening day today at 3:10. It's the Royals versus the Cleveland Guardians. Zach Greinke, the ageless wonder at 38, making the opening day start for the boys in blue. He tells us, and he's very excited about this, the difference between opening day and any other regular season start.
I don't know about like each individual person's thoughts. I mean, it's probably a little bit different than a normal start. Not too much. Your first start's always like a little bit different, whether it's the first game, second game, third game, 10th game. Your first outing is different than most of them. I'm excited to be back. Main goal for me, though, is focusing on pitching and helping the team. That's the main concentration at the moment.
He sounds pretty excited. Royals, Guardians today. Both teams last year were under 500. Royals 74-88, although the third straight year of winning more games than the previous year. Finished fourth in the division. Indians or Guardians Won't be the first time I slip up and say that. Mm-hmm. They went 80 and 82. Shane Bieber, Justin Bieber's brother. Did you know that, Jason?
Yes.
Uh-huh, absolutely. Shane Bieber. It's a joke, people. Shane Bieber on the mound. He was a Cy Young Award winner in 2020. 7-4 last year. ERA 3.17. And Greinke is the oldest player to start opening day in Royals history. He opened in 2010. His first stint with the club. He's now 38. Last year, Zach went 11-6. ERA just north of 4 for the Astros. 3.10. First pitch today for the boys in blue. The Royals also announced last night that they agreed to a restructured contract with super utility man Whit Merrifield. As part of the agreement, they have exercised their club option on Merrifield for next year, added a mutual option for 24, potentially keeping Merrifield a year longer than he was originally signed. Terms of the deal were not disclosed by the club, but a source has told Major League Baseball that Merrifield's new deal includes a guaranteed $10.25 million. Mutual options worth $18 million in 2024 with a $500,000 buyout. Here's how the restructured contract looks according to a source. $7 for Whit Merrifield this year, $2.75 million next year with $4 million in escalators, and 2024, $18 million. Dude, 2023 is a steal. I mean, and even this year, $7 million is a steal for how productive Whit Merrifield is. He is 33. They anticipate him to hit all the escalators in 2023. So if he does, that'd bring his guaranteed money up to $14 million. And Whit is 33, but last year led the American League in stolen bases for the third time in a six-year career, tied for the Major League lead in doubles, becoming the first player to lead the American League in both steals and doubles since Charlie Gehringer back in 1929. So Whit Merrifield is taken care of, and if the Royals and want Whit, then they'll have him all the way through 2024. It's a mutual option in 2024, and that's great because we love Whit Merrifield.
Yeah. Every time they talk about him in a trade possibility, it's like, I don't want to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and keep him here as many things as he can do, and I think he's great for the younger group, too, to learn from and learn what it is to be a professional, right?
He's been very durable, too.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the keys for Royals baseball this year, and then we'll let Jason tell us why the Cubs are going to win the World Series.
There we go.
Okay. I didn't say this year. I'm just win the World Series. It could be 24 years from now. I don't know. I'm going to have Jason look into his crystal ball. To me, the keys for the Royals this year, pitching.
That's the first thing.
It's 1A and 1B.
Yeah.
Second is health. And honestly, that's the biggest things I have. And then with the expanded playoffs, you are in the weaker division of the three in the American League. So you're going to have an easier schedule because you play 19 games against everybody in your division. The Tigers aren't all that. The Guardians are decent. The Twins, I still have question marks, even though they've kind of reloaded with some key names. And then the White Sox were the best team in the American League Central, no question, last year. They're still going to be good. But it's better than being in the American League East. I think it's better to play American League West when you got to play the A's, who are kind of retooling too. But the Astros are really good. The Angels got talent. The Mariners almost made the playoffs. So the Royals are in the right division to where they very well could sneak into that third wild card and get in thanks to expanded field for the playoffs. We have 12 teams instead of 10. I don't think the Royals are going to make the playoffs. And the number one reason why is pitching. Mm-hmm. I just can't buy into the pitching yet. You know, offensively, I think the Royals are going to have to win a lot of high-scoring games. And, of course, health. Can Mondesi play more than 100 games? And that's not even saying a lot. You play 162. You know, Whit Merrifield's been durable, but will he maybe eventually break down playing in the outfield and right field? Will Nicky Lopez play as well as he did last year because he was kind of a surprise? Will Nick Prado come up for the Royals midseason, take over at first base? Will Salvador Perez stay healthy? When he's healthy, he's outstanding, but he has had some injuries. You know, Bobby Witt Jr., we had so much pressure on him. Will he maybe he struggles mightily? Maybe he's not what we think he is at third base. I think he will be. Left field, Benintendi's decent. Good defense out in the outfield. Michael Taylor in center, but those guys don't have huge bats. But when you look at the lineup, and I don't know what the lineup's going to be today yet because Mike Matheny has not released it, but I would imagine it'll go something like Witt's 1, Mondesi's 2, and then probably, you know, Salvi will probably be hitting 3 or 4. And I would, you know, Bobby Witt Jr., I don't know where I'll have him in the lineup. But Taylor's going to be at the bottom of the order. Benintendi, I would imagine, is probably going to be maybe around that 7th spot. Dozier, I think, will be probably in the 5 or 6 hole as a designated hitter. Santana will be somewhere in that mix. And I think the Matheny's going to have Bobby Witt Jr. hitting a little lower in the lineup to protect him as a 21-year-old rookie. But I keep coming back to pitching, guys. Pitching. I love Zach Greinke. I do. And if this was 2010, I'd be more excited because he'd be in his prime and he's a Cy Young candidate and coming off a Cy Young Award win. but he's 38 and he's your opening day starter. Now, part of that is experience. I understand why Matheny's doing that, but honestly, Greinke pitched about as well as any of the younger guys in spring training. That's got to be a little bit concerning. Their number two starter is Brad Keller. He was very, very bad last year for quite some time, started to come on late. He's got to regain his form from a few years ago, or I think this Royals pitching staff is in big trouble. And there's, you know, I don't know why you can be optimistic about that part. Then you've got Chris Bubich, who has pitched pretty well in spring training. I'm not sold he's a three starter, but that's where he is right now. And then Carlos Hernandez, who is very young, who hasn't thrown a ton of innings in his career. They're going to have to watch his workload. He's your four starter, but he's got some electric stuff. And then your fifth starter, it would have been a guy I thought it probably would have been a rotation. I think it's going to be Daniel Lynch because he has three pitches. Brady Singer and Jackson Kowar, who you thought were going to be linchpins of this rotation just a year or two ago, are now starting the season at the big league level, but they're both going to be in the bullpen. So who takes the long relief role there if they're both in there? Because they both can do long relief. Are they thinking Singer's going to be a guy that eventually turns into a guy that can be the eighth inning guy and then eventually your closer? And then you're going to have, you know, Cowher be your long inning relief guy? It's very interesting because you do have some options here with youth. But when I look at the Royals rotation, this is not what we envisioned a few years ago. When we figured when all these guys are going to be up here at the same time, did we not, Dusty, think it's going to be Brad Keller, Daniel Lynch, Brady Singer, Jackson Kowar, and probably Chris Bubich or Carlos Hernandez. Mm-hmm. Instead, we've got Zach Greinke, and we've got Chris Bubich, which I already mentioned, he's in there, and Carlos Hernandez, but we have Singer and Cowher and also Lynch right now, technically, in the bullpen. Mm-hmm. It's not kind of what we dreamt. Are we wondering now, a little bit worried as a Royals fan, that these young pitchers that we thought highly of when they were drafted and they were come up the system quickly, are we concerned that maybe they're not the real deal? Because the odds are in baseball, you're only going to hit on one or two of these guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they all going to be number four starters? Because if that's the case, this team isn't going anywhere. But if a couple of guys could be at least twos, now you might have something. We saw the Royals win a World Series without a number one. We know that. The Royals can win a World Series without a number one guy. But you need to have a couple guys that are twos or dominant bullpen. And it does look like that's what the Royals are trying to do right now, is they're trying to put together some power arms in the bullpen. You look at what they've got in the bullpen right now. You got power arms. You got Jake Brents, Josh Domont, Scott Barlow ended up being your closer last year. They have an offseason addition, Taylor Clark, that they like quite a bit. You know, who knows, Singer or Cowher might end up, you know, doing something special to where they are back in parts of the bullpen. You picked up Amir Garrett, who coming off a really bad year last year, but the year before was very, very good as a power lefty out of the pen. It does seem like what J.J. Piccolo, who is, by the way, the new general manager, is not Dayton Moore anymore. Mm-hmm. It does look like the Royals are trying to hedge their bet on their young pitching in two ways. One, we need a dominant bullpen or a really good bullpen to probably be in contention for a playoff spot. Two, if we have a bullpen and we got a guy or two that can do long relief if we have to, we can lessen the wear and tear on our young starters, such as Carlos Hernandez. And maybe they only got to go five innings from the very beginning all the way through the whole season, and your bullpen's going to piecemeal 3 to 4 innings together. The bullpen, I think, is obviously a work in progress. I have questions about it, too. Scott Barlow, can you do what he did last year? He kind of surprised people. But the bottom line is, to me, the Royals have a very good very good lineup offensively. I mean, Whit Merrifield in right field, we know he's outstanding. We know Michael Taylor in center is a gold glove guy. We know Benintendi is a gold glover in left field, and he's got some pop in the bat. He's a nice guy to have towards the bottom part of your lineup, left-handed bat. You've got Bobby Witt Jr., who you believe is going to rake and he's going to have a really great year. You think he's a can't-miss prospect. Mondesi stays healthy. Dear Lord, he's so much fun to watch. My goodness gracious. He's going to tear it up on the base paths. He's got power now, and he's got great range at short. Lopez is a gold glove. He could have won a gold glove last year as a shortstop. He's outstanding at second, and now that he's hitting, which you didn't really expect, if he can pick up where he left off, that's just an added bonus. Santana, I don't think you're counting on him to do tons of great things other than hold down first for Nick Prado, and he is a guy that has a good OPS and gets walks and gets on. And then Salvi, of course, coming off a 48 home run season. Dozier, you know, right now that's a big question. Is he going to bounce back after having a poor year last year? But when you look on paper, the Royals offense doesn't seem to be a major issue. Now watch, they'll come right out and they'll score two runs over the first five games total and, you know, set a record for futility on offense. We've seen that before. But the offense doesn't seem to be the issue. Defensively, this team looks really good. Bobby Witt Jr. is very good. He's a five-tool player at third. Mondesi is great at short. Lopez is a gold glover, should be at second. Santana's a very good glove at first. Salvi's a gold glove catcher. Benintendi's gold glove. Taylor's gold glove. And Witt's very good in right field. I mean, that Zach Greinke said one of the reasons he chose the Royals is because he knew they had a great defense. So the defense looks great. The thing is, they're going to have to field a lot of balls, I think, again, with this pitching staff. So to me, it's pitching, and health. They can stay healthy, and if their pitching can come around, because I think it's going to be shaky early, if it can come around, then yeah, the Royals have a chance, no doubt, to get one of those last playoff spots. But I'm not predicting it. I think the Royals are going to do – I could see them be a little bit better last year. I can see 76 and 86, something like that, to where they're going to be exciting. They're going to be fun to watch. They might even have a spell where they're red hot. Usually every team does. I just don't think they have enough pitching to really get there.
Yeah, I was actually going through because I didn't know if we were going to make predictions or not. But I was going through last night and kind of looking at all that. And I wanted so bad to be like, yeah, the Royals could be that sixth wild card or the sixth playoff, the third wild card, right?
Right.
And I was like, I just can't do it this year. I think they're – I honestly think they're like a year away from contending for playoffs, right?
I agree.
Some other guys I feel like that are in the minors need to be on this team. And then pitching has to come around, right? And so – but pitching is at the top of that list for me, too. I mean, that's the – the, like you said, 1A and 1B, why I can't put them there. Like, right. It's like, nah, I don't have them there yet, you know? And I don't know, with some of that pitching, part of me wonders if the Royals will ever do like that kind of thing that I know the Rays have done it before, where you have like all these guys in the bullpen, but you have an opener, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have a starter.
That's
you
what just, I was
like,
just gonna say.
Maybe Brady Singer, since he only has two pitches, can come in and open the game, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you'll go to your long reliever,
right?
And then close it out with whoever you've got. Teams aren't doing that every single game.
Yeah,
they're just, you know, filling in
thought.
On those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking when you're going through that list of guys that could be starters that we hoped would be starters, that maybe we could use them on the front end instead of the back end.
Yes.
And kind of, because there are teams that are kind of leaning that direction and doing different things with their pitching staff.
No, that crossed my mind as well.
And I think the Royals are actually kind of setting it up to see not just the fourth or fifth starter, but I think really two through, if you go all the way down to eight, I think you're going to see a lot of guys make starts, whether they make long starts or not, or like Dusty said, once or twice through the lineup. You're going to see a lot of guys make starts. They're going to see what kind of sticks, what doesn't, what works, who works better out of the bullpen, stuff like that. And maybe by mid-season, maybe see a rotation start to form a little bit, or at least your top three or four.
Right.
There's still the chance that, you know, if Greinke pitches really well, you could use him to get a piece back by the deadline. Mm-hmm. Santana, if he gets off to a good start, is a guy that can do that too. I think they're just trying to see what's going to stick. Like you said, like Dusty said, maybe a year away. Now, I see a path to where they do get that last wild card.
Oh, sure.
The bottom of the division craters, the lineup is healthy.
The young pitching comes around. Right.
And maybe they go get one mid-level piece to help out that rotation a little bit.
Right.
And I could see a path. I don't know if that means they're going to hit that path.
Well,
but I see a path. I just think they're setting themselves up for the second half of the season and try to hit the ground running into next season.
Well, if you go off of last year, in order to make the playoffs, even with the expanded field, you would have to win 91 games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some years it's not that number.
Mm-hmm.
But last year you had to win 91 to get the final spot. The Mariners were the seventh team. They had won 90. They'd be out if this year's system. Toronto would have been in. So odds are you're going to have to win at least 85 games or more to have any chance of even getting the extra spot that's been added this year. I don't think any of us think the Royals are going to win 85 games. So to me, that takes care of that prediction.
Mm-hmm.
But like Jason said, if the young pitching comes around, then that all of a sudden all bets are off. Now, if the Royals are in the National League, last year all you had to do is win 83, and you would have got got the final spot. And it might invert. Maybe this year there's American League East beats up on each other, and next thing you know, 85 wins will get you into that wild card in that final spot. But I just don't think the Royals are there yet, because I think the pitching are going to hold them back, and I think we all agree on that. And it'll be fun, and I'm excited about Greinke, and I personally hope that they don't trade Greinke at all. I don't think he's going to be great enough to where they will get anything significant for him anyway. So I don't see him being traded at any point in time, unless somebody just gives him an unbelievable offer. But the guy that watched for me, that I think the only guy the Royals have in their rotation right now, a young guy, that can be a number one guy, in my opinion, is Daniel Lynch. Mm-hmm. I don't think Singer's that guy. I don't think Kowar's that guy. Bubich is not that guy. Keller's not that guy. Carlos Hernandez, maybe. I haven't seen enough of him. But to me, Daniel Lynch is the guy that could be that number one guy. And if you could get Carlos Hernandez and Lynch to be your 1-2s, now you might have something. You might be able to build off of that and move forward. But I think the Royals, I agree with you. I think they're a year away. And we talked about a couple years ago that 2023, 2024, that's what we're talking. We weren't talking 2022. Mm-hmm. But maybe they can sneak in with the extra wild card. I do not know. Okay, the Shockers. Wichita State, two prominent players entering the transfer portal on Wednesday. Guard Dexter Dennis, forward Morris Udazi, are looking for new destinations. Also, Ricky Council IV is testing NBA waters. So Wichita State, K-State's not the only one that loses people to the transfer portal, K-State fans. By the way, the Royals today against the Guardians, 3:10 at Kauffman Stadium. Zach Greinke, the start. The Masters get underway today at Augusta National. Of course, the whole story is going to be about Tiger Woods. Tiger says he's going to play, and Tiger, he's ready to go. He'll take the course at 9:34. Now, is that Central Time?
Yeah.
So he just took the course, if the weather's cooperating. Tiger was asked about whether or not he believes he can win.
You've said countless times throughout your career that you don't enter a golf tournament unless you think that you can win it. Mm-hmm. So the question is simple. Do you think you can win the Masters this week?
I do.
There you go. You got to believe. And what a story it would be. You know, forget Tiger winning the Masters. He might. I'm not going to underestimate him. I never have. I've been one of those few people that said he wasn't done back when everybody said he was done. His odds, the last I saw, were 45-1. If I was in Vegas, I'd throw a 20 on it. Why not? I mean, 45-1, 50-1, whatever it might be, that would be awesome. I'm going to tell you something. This is what CBS is hoping for. Yeah, if Tiger wins, that's great. All CBS is hoping for is Tiger's in contention come Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's in contention Saturday and then on top of it on Sunday, that's an amazing story in itself from a guy that almost lost his life and nearly lost his leg. And now, you know, year and a half later, he's in the Masters and competing for a major when everybody for sure after that accident said he's done. Even he said
the last time he spoke, you know, he was like, I'll be coming back, but I'm not going to be the same Tiger, you know. And then all of a sudden they ask him, can you win the Masters? Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Well, I was like, oh, okay. So you've definitely changed your thought process.
He's healed better than he thought. Yeah, he even thought he would heal. That's the amazing thing. So it'll be fun. I hope he does well, because that's going to, you know, get you excited about the Masters. There's lots of guys that got better odds to win, but when you're playing golf, you know how it is. Usually somebody from nowhere can win majors, and we shall see this year.